Okay, in previous sessions, the recommended activity was for you to ask God a simple question and to write down any significant responses that you had, any spontaneous thoughts. Were you able to set aside time to do this?
I did.
Okay, good. Did you have any significant responses that you'd like to tell us about?
Some of them were too personal.
Sure, right. A lot of them will be personal. Okay. Well, our topics in our previous session were hindrances to hearing God and preparing yourself to hear God. Now, the first topic in tonight's session is when God is silent. There are times when you stop hearing God speak to you. You hear God, you get comfortable hearing God and accustomed to hearing His voice and recognizing His voice and so forth, then it seems like He stops. You think, okay, what happened here? Am I missing something? Well, the first and probably most appropriate response to that is self-examination. Are you aware of any unconfessed sins? As we discussed in a previous session, sin stunts your spiritual growth. It interferes with your relationship with God. It separates. And it hinders His ability to work through you. Because if He continues to bless you and work through you while you're sinning actively, knowingly, and consistently sinning, He's really condoning what you're doing. And He won't do that. So for various reasons, God is likely to, almost certain to stop communicating with you if you have unconfessed sin in your life. So first thing we need to do is to deal with any unconfessed sin. That's the first question. Are there unconfessed sins? The second question, huh?
My wife treats me that way.
That's the way your wife treats you, yes. She doesn't listen to you either.
She stops communicating with you.
Okay. Well, call the office and get an appointment. We'll help you get over that, okay? Yeah. So the next question is...
Happy birthday.
Yes. Yes, hi. The next question with him would be, have you ignored something that God has told you? The first question is, are you aware of any unconfessed sin? The second question is, have you ignored something that God's told you? Are you inclined to talk to someone who ignores what you say? No, neither is God. Neither is God. If you're not going to listen to me, I'm not going to talk with you. He's nicer about it than I am, but He still doesn't listen to you. So, what's next? Well, what are our options when God seems to be silent? Option number one is wait until He speaks. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. We can apply this verse. You can look at the key words there. Those who hope, the other translations say, wait upon the Lord, will renew. Has to do with blossoming out of abilities, renewing the strength and so forth. Abilities and their strength has to do with your ability to do something. Basically, this verse says, putting it in our context, in the context of our discussion here, is that if God is silent, then your strength will increase if you wait with anticipation. If God is silent, then your strength will increase if you wait with anticipation. With anticipation, there is those who hope in the Lord or those who wait in the Lord. Both those translations are correct. The better translation is both. Those who wait in hope. Okay? Those who anticipate. That's what that means.
And continue to seek?
And continue, yes. It's a perpetual type thing. It's not a one-time, okay, I tried once and go on to something else. In fact, God often is silent during the difficult times that He's designed to address our problems. God is often silent during difficult times that He's specifically designed to address our problems. Now, you may have heard of things like wilderness experience or dark night of the soul or a time of testing or a time of refining and so forth. Have you heard terminology like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're still pondering the previous statement, aren't you? You're still processing that.
Well, I was just thinking again back to my spouse that becomes very uncomfortable, and you want to renew the dialogue.
Right.
You know what's going on.
Right.
You know where am I off track with you?
Right.
So it like you're saying here, God acts in a very similar fashion.
Mm-hmm.
It gets very uncomfortable.
Yep. When you're really wanting to hear God and He's silent, it gets really uncomfortable, unsettling. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Could you repeat that
sentence one more time.
God is often silent.
God is. I didn't even put it on your worksheet. Okay, sorry.
God often is silent
during difficult times, that he's designed to address our problems. Lots of key thoughts in there. Yeah. He designs situations specifically to address problems in us that need to be addressed.
God often is silent during difficult times.
That he's designed to address our problems.
That he has designed
to address our problems. We have problems. I don't know about you, but I do have problems. Ask my wife. We all have problems. And God designs situations or allows us to experience situations which will bring that problem to the surface. And God says, did you notice that? Let's take care of that. And it's very typical that when we're in the midst of that kind of a problem, that God backs off and says, I'm not going to say a thing.
We can see that good in other people, can't we? Not ourselves.
Well, yeah.
I think a lot of times in those situations, I tend to think that Satan's attacking when it really, really isn't Satan so much as God saying, listen to me.
Even if it is Satan attacking, he never can do it outside of God's will. Okay? He will always specifically allow it. Either God's in ultimate control of everything that happens, or he's not. Either he's in control or he's a liar.
Right.
It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. So anytime even Satan is attacking or the enemy is attacking us, God is saying, this is going to be for your good.
And God's letting it happen.
He's allowing it to happen. And he will not allow you to experience anything that's beyond your ability to overcome. Not just resist, but to overcome victoriously. But it's very typical in situations like that not to be able to hear God speak. And quite frankly, he's silent for a reason. And it's not to punish you or to reject you. Because you see, his silence adds to the intensity of that situation, right? I mean, this would be much easier, much more tolerable if at least you continue talking to me. But now you're not talking to me. So the intensity escalates there. And that's part of the program.
Giving the cold shoulder.
Well, sort of in the sense, it feels like that, but it's not a matter of him rejecting.
Right.
And it's not a matter of him punishing us. Rather, this is part of the process, part of the experience that you're having.
Yeah.
This is an integral part of it.
To get us to the point where he wants us.
Yes.
Well, it's like we do with our own children, you know. You might pull back and not say things that you think you should say to allow them to experience what they need to experience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or to invite you in eventually. If you've already spoken, they're not listening. You know, you still love them.
Right.
And you know they're going to come around. So I'm waiting for that moment. I'm waiting for you to come to me.
Well, that type of experience that we have, whether you call it a wilderness experience or dark night of the soul or time of testing or refining or whatever, those things are really outside the purpose of our study here.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted you to know that God's silence may be an element of that experience. Sure. Remember that God works all things together for your good, Romans 8:28, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember seeing that in Scripture sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God works everything together for your good, and that includes, if not just includes, but sometimes especially, the more difficult experiences.
Mm-hmm. Just prior to the Lord's first coming, God had been silent for a very long time because they weren't listening.
That's right.
They weren't responding anyway.
Right.
So he just left them to their own devices.
He honors our free will, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Well, I can say from personal experience that this can be agonizing.
Yeah.
And you'll often want to quit, but you will grow stronger if you endure. And that's the purpose here. That's the reason for it. God's ultimate will for you is to become stronger and more like him, right?
Right.
And if he can facilitate that by backing off during a difficult time, do you think he's going to do it?
Yeah.
You bet. So it's not that he's punishing you. It's not that he's abandoning you or rejecting you. It's a matter of his silence being an integral part of your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, option number one is wait until he speaks. Option number two is to use what I call your sanctified intellect.
Mm-hmm.
The Fox version here is to take your best shot and keep your spiritual ears open.
that Fox TV or?
No, that's Fox LA. That's, right. That's me. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Let me explain. God gave us resources for us to use, including our intelligence and common sense, right? Is intellectual ability a facility that God gave us, or did just we inherit that from sinful nature?
God gave it to us.
So do you think if he gave us something, he expects us to use it?
Yes.
Absolutely. So, God gave us resources, including intelligence and common sense. For example, God shouldn't have to lead us to pay our bills, or to eat proper foods, or all those common sense things, right? There are legitimate reasons to avoid relying on human reasoning. For example, carnal or unsanctified intellect is opposed to God's ways, right? So you can't rely on your carnal if your thinking is still carnal or unsanctified. You can't rely on that kind of thinking to help you conform to God's will. It won't happen because that carnal thinking is diametrically opposed to what God wants. But Scripture does tell us to repent, which literally means to change the way you think. And as a result, our thinking then becomes conformed to Scripture and to God's ways. It's what we call the mind of Christ. Now, the more our minds conform to Scripture and conform to God's ways, the more we can trust our thoughts. That's what I call it sanctified intellect. It's human intellect that's been sanctified or set aside for God's use, or to conform to God and to His system, to His kingdom and His righteousness and so forth. Now, we've already surrendered our will to God, and we've asked Him to lead us or to stop us if we're heading the wrong way. I think all of us in this room want that. So here's the process. Here's the process I would recommend. We're talking about using your sanctified intellect when God seems to be silent. So here's a process I recommend. Decide what you should do based on your sanctified intellect. Make the best decision you can do. Take your best shot. Then check for that internal or spiritual peace. If the decision seems right and you have peace, then move ahead. But keep your spiritual ears open. That is, be alert to God's voice. And monitor your inner peace and be willing to change if you sense anything. If you lose peace by doing this, or if you suddenly hear some sort of reaction saying, no, you shouldn't be doing that, be alert to that. Otherwise, move forward. There's a factor that many people overlook in a situation like this, and it's our God-given authority and dominion. God created us as sentient beings. That is, we have a conscious awareness of our environment and what's going on around us and so forth. And He gave us authority and ability to make our own decisions. We call it free will, right? Mm-hmm. Are you aware of both of those faculties? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, He told Adam and Eve, essentially all of mankind, to rule the earth. In other words, He gave us dominion. He gave us a domain to rule as we see fit. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So He honors our decisions, and He allows us to experience our decisions' consequences. It's how we learn. It's not that God's punishing us for making bad choices. We're just simply suffering the experience and the consequences of what we chose to do. In addition to that, He wants to be a partner with us, a co-laborer in what we're doing. Now, there obviously are things that only He can do, and we need to rely on Him to do those things. But we have our role too, and God allows us to do it without interfering with us. It's what I call a cooperative interdependent relationship. Very awkward term, but it's very explanatory. Cooperative, we are cooperating with each other. God cooperates with us, and we cooperate with Him. And it's an interdependence. That is, I rely on Him to do what only He can do, and He relies on me to do what only I can do. That's why I call it an interdependent relationship. So, I have my domain here, my area of influence or responsibility. I'm responsible for deciding what needs to go on there. If I don't sense something specifically from God, I do this process here. I decide what I should do, use my sanctified intellect. I check for internal spirit peace. If the decision seems right and I have peace and I move forward with it, and I keep my ears open, spiritual ears, I monitor that peace and I'd be willing to look for anything that indicates I'm not doing the right thing. That's the sanctified intellect approach that I recommend. So maybe God isn't speaking to you about what to do because it's your decision and He's waiting for you to decide. You have your realm of authority and responsibility. You decide what you think needs to be done. When something's happening in your family, you decide what you think should be done. Based on Scripture and all these other things. But why should we turn to God and say, God, my child's misbehaving. What should I do? Please do something. He says, yeah, go ahead. That's your area of responsibility. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sometimes God is silent because it's our decision to make.
Because he's leaving it up to us.
He gave us the authority. He gave us free will. It is up to us to make the decision in many cases.
He gave us authority and dominion, which you've added there.
Yes. So we're waiting on God when he's waiting on us. Mm-hmm. Have you ever asked God about what should I do in this situation? And he's asked you, what do you think you should do? Or what do you think needs to be done? That's a clear indication of what we're talking about here.
And I'm aware of instances where the fear of making the wrong decision just is so agonizing because nobody wants to make their own decision that you stumble around and bumble around and really it doesn't make any difference. It is, what would you like to do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you an analogy here. It is very hard to turn the steering wheel on a stopped car.
Yeah.
In fact, you really shouldn't do it because it scrapes the tread off your tires, right? How can God guide you if you're not doing anything? I mean, one of the strongest directions that we have is that internal peace, right?
Mm-hmm.
So start moving.
I think of a child learning to walk. They can't learn to walk unless they stand up.
That's right.
And they can't learn to walk unless they take that first step. They can stand up there and wobble all they want, but the parent is usually standing right there when they take the first step to make sure they don't get hurt. Is that a good analogy?
Excellent analogy. In fact, I've heard of stories where parents took a child to a doctor and says, our child isn't walking, and he's already so many months old. He said, what's the problem? And discussion ensued and found out that they were carrying him everywhere.
Okay. He's not gonna fall that far.
The most typical ways that God guides us is through unconscious guidance, such as thoughts and impressions and hunches and so forth, and spirit peace. Those are the most typical ways that God guides us.
Say that one more time.
The most typical ways that God guides us through unconscious guidance, like thoughts, impressions, and hunches, and spirit peace. Again, how can God guide you this way if you're not doing anything? Now, every analogy has its limitations, I know that. But God usually works with us rather than dictate to us. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
God normally works with us rather than dictate to us. You know, I understand the servant posture in God's presence. I understand servant teaching. I teach it as a very strong teaching. It's easy, however, for us to focus on that and always see ourselves as servants, incompetent and incapable and unrespected or disrespected. Yes, we are to have a posture position towards God, but he says, son, daughter, come up here, be with me. We always take the submissive, the submitted posture of a servant, but God always lifts us up and says, I gave you authority, I gave you dominion, I gave you free will, you do it. Look at Acts 16, 6 through 10. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. The point here is that Paul tried going to several regions to preach, but the Holy Spirit prevented him. Mm-hmm. Now, how might the Holy Spirit have prevented Paul from preaching in those areas?
Couldn't get a passport.
Couldn't get a passport? What possibility? I'm prepared for all kinds of such reactions here, so I'm going to keep going until I hear a good one. No, that was a good one. It would be applicable today, but I don't think they had passports back then. If you're the wrong color skin or couldn't pronounce words the right way, that was a different matter. That was your passport.
Yeah, it could have been, he was on the ship going there, and mm-hmm. when he got there, the folk there said, you got to move on, dude.
People could have rejected him.
Yeah.
But how could the Holy Spirit have prevented Paul from preaching those areas? Twice here it says the Holy Spirit prevented him or stopped him.
Maybe no peace about it.
Yeah.
Paul understood
yeah.
that that's what was going on.
Lack of peace mm-hmm. is probably mm-hmm. how the Holy Spirit did this.
He had a real definite exceptional learning experience on his way to Damascus.
Yeah, he sure did.
So he certainly knew when he was going in the wrong direction and how God stopped him. So I would assume that after that he was extremely sensitive to when God was trying to give him some direction.
I would much rather pay attention and hear him tell me what to do than to be knocked off my horse and blinded. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you're right, he had a very dramatic experience. That probably nailed it really well with him. Paul had a dream, according to this passage here, and he concluded that it was God's will for him to preach in Macedonia. God didn't say, I want you to go to Macedonia and preach. Now, why couldn't God have just simply done that? He says, no, don't go there. No, don't go there. No, don't go there. In the middle of the night, he gives him a dream. Why didn't God just simply tell him?
He was teaching him.
He was teaching him. Mm-hmm. He was using lots of different methods. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. We're talking about principles here, and God uses principles. But these are not rigid laws. I mean, these are not rigid things that God cannot violate. We're talking about a variety of methods that God uses. So in the absence of very clear guidance, Paul used his intellect. He concluded until God clearly revealed his will. Do you see that? Now, there may be a problem with prolonged waiting, refusing to do anything unless God speaks to you. I've known people who've done that, and I've done it a few times myself. But I can tell you from experience that you can't outwait God. You can't do it. You also can't force him to speak to you by refusing to do anything until he does. You will not only turn blue in the face, you'll be flat on your face. And he still won't speak to you until you have the right posture. God will not allow you to manipulate him. You can't force him to speak to you. So when God's not speaking to you, roll with it. Don't fight it. I want to present what's called George Mueller's method. I found this in a couple of resources I thought was a very good method. I think it's on the back of your worksheet there. George Mueller was the founder and the director of a very large orphanage in England. He wrote several books, as I understand. He was a very, very respected theologian. And he developed a simple method for determining God's will. It's really a combination of options 1 and 2 that we've already talked about. It's really a combination of those things. And basically, this is what his method was, as reported in the resources that I had. First of all, surrender your own will. You overcome 90% of the difficulties if you're willing to do whatever God says. It's as simple as that. And this eliminates decisions based on your feelings. If you get to the point where you say, God, I really have my preferences, obviously, but it really doesn't matter. I want to know what you want. I surrender myself to you. You eliminate the vast majority of the problems right there. Secondly, search for scriptures for relevant verses. Search the scripture for relevant verses. You see, the Spirit of God and the Word of God must agree with each other. Mm-hmm. They always will. Note any providential circumstances or signs, any divine appointments. These are fun. I see these on a regular basis, not just in myself, but in others as well. When you become aware of these things and start watching, you see them happen. If you're not aware of them, they happen, you just simply don't notice them. And these often very clearly indicate God's will. When you start having signs or circumstances happening to point you in a certain direction and so forth, or confirm, or, you know, whatever. So these are very important. Next, pray for guidance. And then through prayer and the study of the Bible and reflection of circumstances, impressions, and so on, come to a decision that you believe is God's will, based on what you've seen. Now, if you have peace about your decision, and it remains after you've prayed a few more times, 2 or 3 times or so, if you still have peace after you've prayed for it for a while, then proceed. If you're still unable to make a decision, use what you might call the balance sheet approach. You're familiar with that. You divide a paper in half, list all the pros and cons and so forth. Write the potential decision on a piece of paper, list all the advantages on one side and all the disadvantages on the other side. Pray and meditate over this balance sheet and see what happens. It's very... A lot of times the result of the intention or decision becomes very clear after you're praying over this balance sheet. So there are some results of Mueller's method here. Number one is with only normal logic, going through Mueller's method here, you will arrive at a quality human decision. And this can be good. Using this method can help you arrive at a quality human decision. With reliance on God, you'll determine God's will, which is clearly the best. So it's an excellent method. I highly recommend it. So, if you'd like to stand for a break, now's a good time. We presented a few options of what to do when God is silent. Now, which one you use first and which one you use most is probably going to be dependent on your personality and your confidence in your relationship with God, the circumstances, and various other things. What you do first and what you do most consistently will be based on those parameters. But the most important point is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's the most important thing, because the Holy Spirit is your personal tutor. He is your personally assigned guide. He's your communicator. He's your liaison between you and the Father and Son. So, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And this often requires being still, being quiet.
In each of the classes that you've brought us through up to now, what always comes forth is the surrendering your own will part. I'm remembering either last time or time before last comment that it's hard. It's work. Mm-hmm. To be quiet, to focus, to develop a relationship with God.
Yes, it is.
Especially when you're feeling insecure or anxious.
Or you have a very definite idea as to what you would like to do.
Right.
Yeah.
What you would like, what you want.
Yes.
It's hard to say, you know, what you said, you know, I really don't care anymore one way or the other, whatever you want. I'm neutral about it.
That's what I said, or something like that. Maybe a better way to say it is I choose not to care. I have a preference, but I decide that that's not important, what my preference is. What I really, 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 really want is really not important. I choose to accept whatever you say. It's not a matter of saying I've come to the point where it's no longer important to me. It's a matter of saying I don't care whether it's important or not. I accept what you say. And I think it's a very critical difference there.
It's a little easier to swallow what you just said when mm-hmm. you follow that with, because God's will is the best. In
yes.
the end, it's better than what I think I want.
Oh, by far, yeah.
Now, that helps me a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will be better. Yeah.
It will be better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're
absolutely
right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit often requires being still, being quiet, and waiting at times. And in that context, a regular quiet time with God is always worthwhile, whether you're trying to make a decision or just simply enjoying being with Him. Quiet time with God is always worthwhile. Do you have any questions or comments about what we covered so far in this session?
Just another off-the-wall thought.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of us remember where we were today when the earth shook. We were talking, coming over in the car. Suppose after that settled down, the Holy Spirit had said to us, leave the building.
Yes.
Because He knew that in 5 minutes, the real shaking was going to come. I would not have heard that. We were still talking about, gee, that was neat, you know, and everything was in order.
Yeah.
I would have still been sitting there.
Yeah.
But anyway, there would have been a time where if you were sensitive to the Holy Spirit, where He may have said, it seems quiet, it seems over, and I would have still been sitting there.
Do you think the Holy Spirit is capable of and willing to grab your attention in an urgent situation?
Yes.
To yell in your ear, so to speak?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talk about the subtlety of God's voice and the gentleness and quietness of God's voice. But there have been times the Holy Spirit says, now, move!
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. you better move now.
There's a big difference mm-hmm. when that happens.
Yes, really is a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there have been times when God has told me something like that. I'm very confident He told me, but nothing happened. Would something have happened if I had stayed there? Mm-hmm. Or was that a test of faith? Mm-hmm. Or something else? Doesn't really matter.
And sometimes there's a sudden urgency to remember something or go get something that moves you from that place to be assured of whatever it is he's trying to get you out of or get you to.
I had a near accident once that it would have been fatal. It was on Hopkins Road in Cogville. I was coming up the ramp to Hopkins Road, and I was turning left, but the person coming across the overpass of Hopkins, we were all stopped at the stoplight. But when my light changed to green, the guy that should have stayed stopped started out. And somebody pushed my gas pedal. They floored it right to the floor. And I got out, and he only hit the back tire and the back bumper. And if I had been a split second earlier or later, he would have gone right through the side of me. I pulled around the corner, and I stopped on the side of the bridge that was going that other way, and the lady behind him hollered out the car to me. She says, "Lady, that was some driving." Because he hit me, we had to go to the near parking lot. And she came, she said, because he definitely ran the red light. She said, "I will stay and be your witness." But you know what was strange about that? I'll know someday. I'll see all the spiritual things that were going on in the corner. But there's no way. I mean, the reaction time was just faster than I would have reacted. I just know that.
And possibly faster than your car would normally have moved. Because a lot of times when you floor the accelerator, your car kind of hesitates, you know, until it catches up with that.
Yeah.
There wasn't any of that. It just, I mean, it was, I was starting out there, and my the front of my car was already in front of his. I couldn't go back, and he was going too fast to step on the brakes and not hit me. And somebody pushed my gas pedal flat to the floor. And so therefore he only hit the rim of the tire in the back and the back bumper. It was, I won't forget it.
And that's part of the point right there. That's part
of
it.
Did you see God in it? Did you thank God for saving
you? No, but the weirdest thing was you'd have thought I was all, would have been all shook up and all rattled and all, you know. And I wasn't. I mean, it was weird. It was really weird.
Because a lot of times with things like that, I mean, even smaller things, I see God at work. And I thank him.
Constantly. I've had times where, you know, you go to move over and some, you know, an angel keeps you in your lane because you didn't see that car over there. Or somebody's moving over on you and suddenly you're propelled. And I sense that, and I know it's not me. Thank you, God. Whoever this, you know, whichever did it. Thank you.
I think it was thank God for the big thing, just even for the little thing.
And that's something I've been trying to emphasize through this whole study here is don't lose sight of the little things. We talk about divine appointments where you just meet somebody by chance, so to speak.
It wasn't by chance. Providential circumstances.
Providential circumstances, things that just seem to happen.
It's not.
No. Don't overlook those things. In fact, a lot of that is keen on being aware, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to the spiritual realm, just realizing that things are happening that you can't see or sense with your physical senses. And recognize that and learn to live with it. Learn to expect it.
And give thanks.
I've been asking
and give thanks, yes.
To see the little things. You know, don't let me miss anything.
Well, that's one reason that I believe that's going to be critically important for us in the near future. And that's why I am really strongly emphasizing spiritual development, spiritual senses, sensing the Holy Spirit, being able to commune with God, dialogue with Him, and so forth. Like I said before the session started there, my teaching has become very strategic in the last couple of years. And it's targeting the skills and abilities and perspective and insight that I think we're going to need in the years ahead. It's very strategic. No.
Is it possible that God is trying to train us and tune us in to the same degree that a good horseman trains his horse? So that he doesn't have to do a lot to that horse to get the horse to go where they need to go.
Great analogy. Just touches it.
Just lightly touches it, and the horse already knows where what to do and where to go.
And that's why God wants to speak to us with a gentle voice. He doesn't have to slap us around to get our attention and knock us off our horses and blind us to get our attention. He wants to be able to just simply speak to us, and we say, I heard that, and I'll respond.
But there's no self-determination.
No.
I just wanted to share a real quick story. Similar to hers, this was a couple years ago. I was driving home from a friend's house, and it was pretty late at night. It was probably 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And so I was coming down a road where there was no other vehicles that I can remember. And I came up to a green light. There was nobody else around, and I should have just kept the same speed going through the light. And all of a sudden, I just felt this very strong impression, just slow down, slow down, slow down now. Mm-hmm. And I hit the brakes, and there was no reason, there was no fear of anything. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I hit the brakes and started slowing down at a green light, out of nowhere, this red truck went through the intersection, never stopped, ran a red light, and I would have been, like you said, right in the path of that truck that never slowed down. It was going probably 60 miles an hour. Right?
Wow. God.
And it was just amazing that it was so clear, stopped.
Yep.
Never forget that.
God wants to be intimate enough with us that he can simply speak and get our attention.
But we have to practice, you know, these things and being in his presence and everything so that we can hear it clearly, right? Because we might miss his voice a lot of times.
And our topic, our second topic for this evening, focuses on that very thing. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about journaling, shall we? I have a question for you.
I get up.
If what comes from your spirit can produce life, remember Jesus said the spirit is life. He wasn't just talking about the Holy Spirit, he's talking about your spirit as well. If what comes from your spirit can produce life, shouldn't you pay attention to it? It's a good time to nod your head. Yes. Okay, good.
It's not a trick question.
Not a trick question, no. That one was as obvious as I intended it to be. It's very convenient to write down what comes from your spirit, including what comes from God through your spirit. Remember now, at what level does God interact with us?
Spirit to spirit.
And then our spirit tells our psyche, our mind, this is what God said, or this is what God's doing, or this is what I sense in the spiritual realm. So whether it comes from your spirit or from God through your spirit, in a sense, really doesn't matter. In fact, I think that's why sometimes in Scripture it's not clear whether he's talking about the Spirit of God or the Spirit of man. There are some Scriptures where you really can't tell which is talking about. And maybe the answer is, it doesn't matter. Whether it's your spirit that is now sensitive to the whole, to the spiritual realm and is growing into the likeness of Christ, or it's God speaking through your spirit. Sometimes it just doesn't matter which it is. But it's very convenient to write these things down, whether it comes from your spirit or God's spirit. And that's what we call journaling. Now, we've been experimenting, learning the basics for the previous sessions and the activities I recommended for you each week. In reality, those were journaling exercises. You probably recognize that's what they were. That is what they were, in fact. And I want to give you some advantages of journaling. Number one, it allows you to record your experience. And that can be invaluable in the future. What God speaks to you may not be fulfilled immediately. And writing it down helps you remember it and recognize when it is fulfilled. Look at Habakkuk. I'm sorry?
As these girls related their experience, I remembered an experience or two that Annette and I have had together. And we've never written them down.
Uh-huh.
It's been a long time since we've told anybody about them.
Right.
So very quickly, even those very significant things, they get forgotten.
They do. They get forgotten. You remember that you forget the details, or your perspective changes with time. Yeah. So what God speaks to you, or what you sense in your spirit, may not be fulfilled immediately. Now look at Habakkuk 2:2-3. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. And we're not talking about prophecies here in our discussion here. But the same principle applies. Write it down. It's not going to happen immediately. So write it down. At the proper time, it'll become evident. So, one advantage to journaling is that it allows you to record your experience, and that can be invaluable in the future. Somebody else have a comment?
It says, though it linger. It always lingers.
Yeah.
I think that's why we have become lackadaisical about prophecy, because it has lingered a very long time. It's almost like...
Right. Yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess that was for the 1970s, but not today, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there's another reason. Journaling allows you to evaluate much more than a few words or sentences. You can receive several paragraphs or even pages from the Lord at one time. And it's a whole lot easier to evaluate written text than it is to remember and reiterate in your mind and then try to evaluate it at the same time. Mm-hmm. So writing it down is a great advantage. Even if you just receive a few words or a thought or whatever. But especially if you receive more than that. Another point is it's easier to evaluate something that's written down. I think that's what I just said, isn't it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Our memories change with time. You forget, or your perspective changes.
Maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah. Or in the 2 minutes before I said that the first time, right? I'd already forgotten it, right? Well, journaling also helps keep your mind preoccupied, so it's easier for you to receive from your spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes.
The mind is less likely to interfere.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving your mind something productive to do. Write down what I'm thinking. Okay, so I'm writing it down. And while your mind is busy preoccupied with writing it down, you're sitting here receiving more through your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Remember now, your mind is accustomed to being in control. That's a result of sin. But journaling gives your mind something worthwhile to do while you listen to your spirit. So there are many very strong positive reasons to write down what you're sensing in your spirit. Whether it's a dialogue with God, or whether it's just impressions or that kind of thing, whatever's coming from your spirit, write it down. I would suggest you try writing a question to God and then write his response. It can be that simple. And the results of this can be powerful, absolutely powerful. Also consider writing a statement to God instead of asking a question. Let him respond to you. This doesn't just have to be a Q&A session with God. You can dialogue with him. You can make a statement. He will respond to your statement. Then you respond to what he says. It's a dialogue. Prayer is supposed to be a dialogue. For most of us, it's a monologue. Prayer is us telling God what we think or want, and then we say amen and leave. No, we're talking about dialoguing with God here, whether you're praying, but specifically journaling. I make a statement to God. I express a concern or make an observation or ask, this is what I'm thinking about. It's what I'm working on. You know, what do I do with this situation here? Just write it out and expect God to say something about it. Now, there are other ways that God can respond to us, that is, speak to us. In our first or second session, we talked about the many ways that God communicates with us. Well, when you're journaling, let me put it this way. So far, our activities have focused on hearing God's voice as spontaneous thoughts. Okay, I've kept emphasizing that. Look for those spontaneous thoughts, because those are probably God speaking to you, or at least your spirit speaking to your psyche. Okay, look for those spontaneous thoughts. So I've really emphasized that for a reason. But now I want to remind you that there are other ways that God speaks to us. Through impressions. Now, impression is a very subtle thing, right? Sometimes it's kind of vague and foggy. It's an impression. Sometimes God speaks to us that way. Write those down too. Sometimes he speaks to us through insight. You suddenly see something that you've never noticed before. You've been pondering something, never seen the consequence, the result, or the solution to it. And suddenly, boom, there it is. Wow. Why haven't I seen this before? It's so obvious. You know, it's what I call an IWE. It's intuitively obvious once explained. You know, once you see it, it's obvious. But there was no way you could have come to that conclusion without having seen it. Insight that God gives you. Write that down. General ideas. We're talking about concepts here, maybe not even words, just concepts. You just have an idea. Write that down as well. Now, again, we're talking about in the context of journaling. When you're anticipating something from God and you suddenly have an idea, write it down. A mental image. I can't tell you how many times I have been sitting here waiting for God to speak to me about something, and I suddenly have a mental image. I'm thinking, what was that all about? But I wrote it down, and afterwards, God referred to it and explained to me what it was all about. Or even if he didn't explain it to me, having pondered it and prayed about it and kept meditating on what God's intent was in the situation, suddenly the mental image became significant to me. So, if you have a mental image, write it down. If you have a sensation, write it down. There have been times when I've asked God, what about this right here? And suddenly I'll be overwhelmed with a sense of dizziness or excitement or alertness, okay? It's a sensation. It probably was my spirit reacting. It's probably what it was. So as you're dialoguing with God, you're journaling, you're writing down your questions and statements and God's responses and so forth, if you have these things, write them down too. Those are legitimate forms of communication. Okay? Those are some of the many ways that God communicates with us. It's not just speaking into your ear so you can hear it. So record all these in your journal. These can be inputs from your spirit, which are very valuable. You know, your spirit has a lot to offer that your psyche doesn't even suspect.
I'm not sure that I... Sensations. I didn't understand that. Or my mind was somewhere else.
Well, sensations such as alertness, suddenly becoming very alert, or having a sense of peace, or you know, some emotion of some kind, that kind of thing. Maybe even a physical feeling at times, a sensation, whether it's a spiritual sensation or a physical sensation. There have been times when I've had a sense of dizziness. I'm thinking, what was that all about? It's like vertigo just swept over me. I mean, intensely. I've had vertigo from burnout, you know, so I'm very familiar with that. But there have been times when it suddenly swept over me, and I think, I'm about to fall apart here. Far more than what I've experienced before, normally, from burnout or fatigue or whatever. So that's a sensation, okay? It's a physical sensation. So when you have those things, include them in your journal, okay?
But there's always the struggle of, is this me and my humanness, or is this really God?
So what's the problem with that question?
Well,
is your human spirit capable of producing those types of things?
Yeah, I think so.
Certainly. So that's just you then, isn't it?
Yeah.
What I'm saying here is it doesn't matter whether it comes from your spirit or from God through your spirit. Mm-hmm. It's still a legitimate input.
It's kind of one of those things that pay attention to it, because if you start to notice the consistency of there's...
Yes.
Something going on.
That's why I strongly encourage you. If you're dialoguing with God, you're journaling, you're inquiring, you're making statements and so forth, and you have a sensation like this, write it in there. It may have nothing to do with anything except the pizza you had the night before. It's possible, okay?
Yeah.
It's possible. But write it down. There have been many times I've written those things out there and come back later and thought, "Yeah, that wasn't relevant."
Yeah.
Okay.
Even
but that's
thoughts
fine.
That you have, that could be.
Oh,
easy.
Yeah. Well,
right?
Definitely. I'll tell you, my mind is all over the place, all right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I wonder if what I just said made any sense, because I wasn't listening to it. I was someplace else, okay? So there are times when I can be journaling and expecting God to say something to me, and a thought will pop into my mind, and I start to write that down. I thought, whoa, no, that doesn't fit the criteria. That wasn't from God. Mm-hmm. That very clearly was from me.
Yeah.
And I know that you also are very capable of totally fabricating the dialogue with God. You can fill in the blanks where God doesn't speak. You can do it. Mm-hmm. But write it down anyway. Mm-hmm. When you go back, you see, you write it down. Don't test it when you're writing it. Mm-hmm. Because if you start criticizing, if you start critiquing in the process, you're going to shut it down. You're going to shut it down. So don't critique it while you're writing. Mm-hmm. Write it in there. Mm-hmm. Sometime later, you can have an opportunity to edit it out. And we'll talk about some of that in just a moment. Okay? So God can speak to us. Your spirit has a lot to offer that your psyche doesn't even suspect. There are some teachers and spiritually oriented people who say that wisdom really is a function of your spirit, not your psyche.
Say that again.
That wisdom is a function of your spirit, not your psyche, not your mind. I am absolutely confident that subconscious thought is a function of your spirit. Okay? I'm convinced of that. And I can cite scriptural references for it. If you give me a chance to look them up, I know where they are. But there are functions of our spirit that we normally just write off, or we just attribute to, that was just me. Well, yeah, it was you. It was your spirit. But your spirit has a whole lot more to offer than your psyche can even suspect. It's not even aware of what's going on in most cases, because your mind is preoccupied with the right here and now. You know, what the texture on this tablecloth is, you know, what she's wearing, this, the expression on his face and this kind of stuff. You know, I'm aware of all these different types of things. That's my mind. That's my psyche receiving inputs from my physical senses.
Perception.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I can become so preoccupied with that that I'm ignoring those perceptions floating up from my spirit. The whole emphasis, the whole underlying theme in this whole series here has been orient yourself towards your spirit. Not just acknowledge your spirit, but really pay attention to it. In fact, I really want to know how to build that up, how to make my spirit stronger. That's part of what I'm going to be talking about this fall in the series. We've talked about these things before. But the point is not just to be aware that your spirit exists, but to acknowledge it, to feed it, to satisfy it, just like you satisfy your physical body, to satisfy your spirit, and to honor its inputs. Don't just reject them because, oh, that was weird, you know, write that off. But when you're writing things down in your journal, don't critique them as you're writing. If you do that, you will shut things down. Mm-hmm. Even if God doesn't stop speaking to you, your psyche is shutting down your spirit. You've chopped the channel, okay? You've cut the connection. Don't be critical. Don't be critiquing while you're journaling. Save that for later. Then after you've finished, then you can go back and apply the criteria that we gave in the first or second session about how to test what you think you hear. Okay? After you have finished. All right? But make sure you're finished first.
That was one of the things that through this class that the Lord just told me to come and commune with Him, and He will do the teaching.
Yeah.
Just spend the time. Mm-hmm. Meet with Him. And that took all the edge. You know, because see, I was wanting this wonderfully finished product. Can't get anything if you don't ever start.
That's right. You know? So, and you have to start with the first grade.
Or if you think your one little thing is going to be some monumental thing, you know, that's okay.
You're just writing a message. That's right. You're not writing the thesis, you're doing texting at this point, right? Incorrect grammar, bad spelling, probably bad ideas. You're just getting started. But
I was even concerned about writing too much. You know, it's like, okay, just go.
I would suggest you write whatever God says.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing.
And let Him worry about that. Yeah.
It is fun.
Yeah. Somebody said in one of our previous sessions, she shared what God had spoken to her, and she said it was totally unexpected. She just never expected God to speak to her that way. I'm thinking, let's let God be God. Let's let Him say what He wants to say. And let's just be happy to write it down. Mm-hmm. And thank Him for honoring us by speaking to us, right? Mm-hmm. I want to give you some general comments and recommendations here. First of all, based on my personal experience, I've been journaling since 1981. That's been 30 years. Mm-hmm. I began because I had an impression. That's all. I had an impression that I should start keeping a personal journal. So it started out as a diary. I never kept a diary before, so I thought, okay, well, here's what happened today, you know, this kind of stuff. And it was mundane, to say the best. But I just had an impression that I need to start keeping a personal journal. But then I began noticing impressions and spontaneous thoughts coming to mind. And this was after a while, okay? This didn't happen the second day. This happened after a while. Now, I had no training in these matters. Nobody came along and told me the types of things I'm telling you. I had no training in these matters at all. But I tentatively concluded that it might be God speaking to me, because I began noticing the nature of things that I was sensing. Okay? And I thought, that could have been God. Might have been. I don't know. But I began recording those experiences. And I began recording those experiences and identifying them as, these might be from God. In fact, the way I did it, I was typing and I put them in italics. I said, this might be God speaking. With time and based on the contents of those entries, I became more confident that they were, in fact, from God. But it took time. I'm talking about years. After a few years,
you were increasing your awareness of God's intimate desire to communicate with you.
And I was definitely pushing the boundary, stretching the envelope of my current experience, including the experience of Christians around me. Okay? It wasn't until many years later many years later that I attended a men's conference, a Cornerstone men's conference, and the featured speaker was Mark Berkler. And he taught on communion with God. And I said, that's it. That's what I've been learning. This is what I've been doing. You know? And it was a real eye-opener for me. It was like a, whew. Okay? Because I'm doing this thing. I thought it was God. You know, I believe it's God. And I'm trying to honor what I think I'm hearing. It looks like God. It sounds like God. It walks like a duck. Clocks like a duck. You know, this kind of stuff. So I thought it was. But that men's conference was a divine appointment for me. That radically changed my perception of what I was experiencing. Berkler's teaching confirmed that I was, in fact, hearing from God. And he gave me greater confidence, and it taught me how to develop more skill in hearing God's voice. It was an instrumental conference for me. Now, initially, in the early years, I very seldom heard God or recognized his voice. Very seldom. And mostly it was just, here's what happened today type stuff in my journal, okay? Mm-hmm. Very seldom did I hear God in the initial years. But over the years, as I've grown spiritually, as I've received spiritual healing and so forth, as I've learned to hear him, I have learned to hear him on a regular basis. So journaling has become invaluable for me, spiritually, psychologically, and emotionally. It's become invaluable. I wouldn't take anything for it. I wouldn't give it up for anything. Now, some notes, comments here on my personal practices. I'm not suggesting that you do what I'm doing, the things I'm about to explain to you. I'm just saying, here's what I'm doing. You might consider some of these.
An aftershock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah. I just had to make sure that wasn't your air conditioner falling off the house or something. It's not.
It's in the vacuum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Offering some suggestions here, just some insight into what I do. In addition to my daily time for Bible reading and prayer, in addition to that, I have regular appointments, blocks of time that I've set aside each week when I spend significant time with the Lord. When I do it and how long those blocks of times are is irrelevant at this point. What I'm suggesting is you set aside an appointment at least once a week, preferably twice a week or so. Okay? But you do it as you have time, as you're able, as you're motivated, and as you want to, you decide for yourself what you want to do. I would just encourage you to do something. Now, in our activities, I've suggested 15 minutes. That's just to get your feet wet, to whet your appetite. I typically spend 3 hours. If I can just sit there and sit in the Lord's presence, sometimes doze off, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I just sit there and meditate. I'll do some things I'm going to talk about a little bit later. I'll dialogue with God and wait, prayer, whatever. Spend some significant time with God. You don't have to do 3 hours. Maybe half an hour is all you can do at the time. But start with something and honor that time. If you say, okay, on Tuesday morning, or I'm going to do this half hour, and Tuesday morning is just totally impossible, do it Wednesday or Thursday. But don't sacrifice that time. Make sure you honor that commitment, because it is a commitment. And remember who you're committing the time to. This isn't just a personal discipline. This is a time to honor God with your presence, if I can put it that way. So I have times that I've blocked out each week. They're not daily, but they're multiple times each week. And I have a specific location that's free from distractions. It's very comfortable, which can be a problem at times, as I said. It's easy to doze off. And I get in there with a notepad in my lap, and I prepare to journal. So I come to my point, almost use a term I can't use yet. I come to this setup, if you will, this situation, this environment. This is my place. This is where I do it. And I sit in God's presence, and I go through my meditation, my prayer, praying in the Spirit, to prep my spirit and so forth, that type of thing. And again, since I mentioned that, if you do not have a prayer language, please see one of the altar workers in the church, or go to an elder or a pastor and tell them, I haven't been baptized in the Spirit. Or if you feel you haven't received a prayer language, ask for that as well. But that prayer language is very valuable. And if you don't have a prayer language yet, that's okay. Like I said in the previous session, that doesn't make you inferior. It just means that you haven't had that experience yet. If you haven't had that experience yet, pray in English. But look for those spontaneous thoughts coming up and pray with those thoughts. Okay? So, I have a specific location that's free from distractions, very comfortable. I come prepared. Usually, well, not usually, always. That means a notepad and pencil and my little book here, which I'll talk about in just a moment. I meditate on the Lord, and I possibly review some journal entries that are especially relevant to what's on my mind at the time. And many times I'll begin writing something like, "Good morning, Father. What would you say to me today?" And then I'll wait. Wait for him to respond. It's fun. It really is. When you stop and think that God Almighty, the creator of the universe, omnipotent, omniscient, all those omnis, would interact with us one-on-one and tell us how much he enjoys doing it, why would you not want to? Why would you give that up? I'm trying to whet your appetite here. I'm trying to give you an appetite, a desire for this that will motivate you to commit yourself to doing something. Other times I'll write about something that's going on, then I ask the Father a question about it, if he hasn't already spoken to me about it as I'm writing. I discover that he frequently speaks to me while I'm busy writing my question or comment, which is helpful. Because, you see, my psyche is focused on writing out my statement, and God speaks to me, and this thought pops. I'm focused on this. This happened. That's God. That's not me. Okay? So you learn those types of things. And it's very typical for God to speak to me while I'm still writing my presentation out, what I'm about to ask him or say.
That's training your ears.
That's training, yes.
That's training your ears to hear. When the Revelations, where it says, after each one of those churches, it says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Right.
You can't hear unless your ear is trained to hear. And in order to hear at the spirit level, you have to be able to shut out everything else that's of this physical world and internalize it. You have to be able to shut yourself in, not out. Shut yourself in that place.
And God overcomes that need many times by speaking to me while I'm still writing something else. There's a scripture that talks about those who have trained themselves through use. They've trained their senses to distinguish between good and evil. That's that training that we're talking about here, through use. While I'm doing this, God speaks to me this way. I learn to recognize that voice. Okay? Then sometimes he'll wait until I'm finished writing before he speaks. You see? Uh-huh. Once I'm confident, even that morning, I become confident. That was God speaking to me. Okay? I've heard it thousands of times, him speaking to me, but I sit down and I start writing out, and he speaks to me while I'm still writing. I'm thinking, thank you. It's confirmation that you're here, that you're moving with this thing here. I really, really look forward to those times of dialoguing with God. And I write down everything I think he might have said. There's the opportunity for me to insert thoughts there, and there are times when I do that. But I look forward to hearing and to writing these things down. Now, I have some suggestions for you. I've told you the types of things that I do here. I have some suggestions for you. Make sure, we're talking about journaling here. If you want to start off with a loose leaf paper, that's fine. If you want to start off with a bound book, that's fine. I don't care. I don't think it matters to God either. You know, whatever works for you. But start off with whatever you have or want or however it works best for you. I do it two stages. I start off with a notepad in my lap because that's easy to do in my chair where I sit and meditate and pray with a light there and everything like that. I'm all prepped and everything I need right there, so I just write it out as God speaks to me. And then later, I transcribe it into my computer. So, you know, whatever you do, however you do it, work out something that works for you. But whatever you do it, make sure that you date each journal entry. This is very important. Put the current date on each journal entry. After a few years, I was using loose leaf paper, putting in notebooks. After a few years, I began transcribing my handwritten journal entries into a word processing document. Now, there's an advantage to this. Using a word processor, I can do word and phrase searches. So if there's something I want to go back and say, what did God tell me about that? I can go to the beginning of the document and search down on keywords and phrases. There they are. So I have some specific reasons for doing that besides it saves paper. Today, my journal really is three documents corresponding to very basic life phases. My first journal went up to a certain point in my life experience. The next journal went from that point to the next major event in my life experience. And now I'm on my third document. And altogether, those documents total over 600 pages. But that's 30 years. Okay? So, there's no way that I can remember everything God said or when He said it. Maybe you can, but I can't. My mind doesn't work that way. So I've developed some tools that you might find interesting or helpful. Here are some tools that I use. Just something to consider. You may not need to do these things right away, but just get your thinking rolling here. There are consistent themes in what Father says to me. The topics may be personal or related to my teaching or to my business or whatever. So in addition to my journal document, my word processing document where I transcribe all my journal entries into it, in addition to my journal document, I've developed separate documents that contain journal excerpts based on topics. Okay? Copy and paste my journal into this topical document. And make sure you include the date on it as well. So I have several journal excerpt documents. In fact, this is my binder right here. This sits in my lap in the morning, along with my notepad. So I have several journal excerpt documents based on title. This one here has to do with growth and destiny. My personal growth, my personal destiny. And as you can see, these different entries here have a date on them. They also have a caption on them. I found that very helpful. So that's what I do. So I have journal excerpts documents by topic. Can you imagine how valuable it is to be able to go back and review journal excerpts by topic and date? I mean, I have one here on the spiritual realm, for example. I can start at the beginning of that one and just read it straight through it. It's fascinating study what God has told me about the spiritual realm. Over the years, God's spoken to me about this, and I just put them all together in this one document. Now, if I have a particular interest or curiosity or a need to figure something out, I can go through and read that document. There it is. It's a fascinating study. Can you imagine how valuable that is? I have excerpt documents for a variety of topics. One is about America in the end times, dreams that I have. I showed you the one on personal growth and destiny. I have one about prophecies that God has spoken to me. One about the spiritual realm and other topics that are of interest to me. This is a powerful tool. And I highly recommend it if you record your journal in a word processing document. Now, maybe you can draft a journal while you're standing there or sitting there in front of your... I stand in front of my computer. You sit in front of your computer. While you're sitting there in front of your computer, maybe you can journal that way. Go for it. I find it more intuitive and more comfortable, easier to journal with my notepad in my lap and then transcribe it. It takes me a couple of minutes to transcribe the day's journal.
You get to read it again.
Exactly. I get to read it again. Yep. Well, sometimes he does, yes, exactly. As I'm transcribing my handwritten journal entry into my word processing document, God speaks to me, and I can kind of fill in some soft spots there. I've also developed another tool. The first one was kind of functional, it's kind of practical. You can probably see the benefit of that. But I have a second level of document in which I record extremely condensed phrases or statements based on the journal entries. And they're grouped by topic and by date also. I call them journal kernels. Kind of a catchy name. But kernel. They are kernels. The kernel is the most material or central point. That's what a kernel is. So, in one place back here, you see my journal excerpts where I have full paragraphs, right? Mm-hmm. Here are my journal kernels. You see all those bullet points?
Can you read one?
Sure, I will in just a moment. I like bullet points. I like to shoot, so I... But each one of these here is a condensed statement of something that God spoke to me, and I excerpted into one of these documents back here, okay? Or maybe I didn't even have a journal excerpt about that topic, but God has spoken to me about something, so I have a list of journal excerpts, journal kernels here. This one here has to do with my personal growth and my true nature. All these entries here, they're in chronological order. So I can read through here, and they're just brief statements, not complete paragraphs, just brief statements. They're the main points. It's all boiled down. For example, in January 8, 1999, the statement was, "He'll show me more of how the spiritual realm and my spiritual nature work." That was a big, that was, Well, that was a big paragraph reduced down one simple statement. He'll show me more of how my spirit, how the spiritual realm and my spiritual nature work. That was 12 years ago. I had no idea at the time what he was talking about. Well, generally I did, but I didn't understand the significance of what he was telling me, okay? Mm-hmm. That's a very condensed kernel of what he told me. That's a reduction of an entire paragraph or several sentences in my journal. On March 11, 2000, he says, I will sense the spiritual realm, and I will understand how it functions. I don't yet, but I'm heading that way. July 20, I just picked a few at random here. July 25, 2005, if I'll continue walking with him and doing what he gives me, there will be no end to my growth. These are like intense vitamins. I mean, these are condensed, these are ultra potent, okay? And just simply read through there. And I have a practice that it's not unusual for me to read this section here on personal growth and true nature, and I'll read through these things, and when I get through that section, I will lay my hand on that page, and I said,
so be it.
Mm-hmm. So be it, basically. I've read every point, and I agree with every point, and I invite you to fulfill these in your time and in your way. Just to go through, this is what God has told me. These are condensed synoptic statements here of what God has told me and what his intent is for me and how I'm to grow and so forth. Do you see the value of that, the benefit? Imagine how faith-building it is to read very brief reminders of God's promises. I have 4 pages here of God's promises on various topics. Then I have other things here about my true nature, my transformation into that nature, my purposes and my destiny, all these types of things. I went back here on my business, things that God has spoken to me about my business. Statements here. So, you see, I can go here and I can find in just a few moments what God has told me about a particular topic. I also have journal kernels that provide insight or direction regarding my true nature, as I said here. What his intent for me is, what my true nature is, even if I don't actually know what my true nature is at this point. In fact, one of the things he told me is that there are parts of my nature that have been obscured, and they're going to be revealed under certain circumstances. He told me what those circumstances were, and he told me that 4 years before one of them happened. And when it happened, I can come in here and said, yep, that one was fulfilled on that date. Exactly what he said. So when I prepare for my quiet time with God, I take my binder with me, my notepad and pencil, and I prepare myself. And many times I'll just peruse these excerpts, or I'll peruse my journal kernels to help me focus on God and what he's been speaking to me, the types of relationship we've had, the types of things he's addressed to me, and so forth. And that helps prepare me for what he's going to tell me next. So these are a few suggestions that you might find helpful. Any questions or comments about journaling in particular? How are we doing on time?
8:20.
Thank you.
I
asked her.
Wow.
Excuse me, Jim. Go ahead. Yeah.
I can see. I can see your passion for the Lord, and I'm not trying to build you up. I'm just comparing your own passion for the Lord and my own lack of it. During your trial of the last couple of years, were you able to continue journaling then? Did your journaling bring you through that with more victory than you might have had otherwise? I know that was a very difficult time. Can you relate how your journaling took you through that time? Because what you experienced, each and every one of us can experience, and many of us would not come through it as you did come through it.
For what you could be grateful. You need to come through it in your own way. To answer your question, yes. Journaling is invaluable to me under normal day-to-day mundane circumstances and extremely helpful to me under difficult circumstances. There was a time in my career were. It was very clear that God led me to step out and start my own business. Left a very secure job, respected job, and I was moving up the ladder and making outstanding ratings, outstanding when the outstanding ratings were not given. What my point in saying that is, not to pat myself on the back, but simply to say, I felt I was relatively successful, and I was doing quite well. And God spoke to me and said, I want you to change direction and go over here and do this. Well, okay. He made it absolutely clear to me through journaling entries. They were in here. They're documented in my journals. Okay. The way he spoke to me, all the experiences that I had that led me to conclude this really was God's will. So, yes, I stepped out. In fact, I gave my notice. I said, 6 months, I'm out of here. So I started working on that side business, and it went up. Then it plateaued, and I got to 6 months, and it started to go down. Well, God had prepared me for that. That's not what I wanted to happen. And I wasn't real excited about that happening because this was panic time. And I found that during that time, after I had committed myself to leaving that job and committed myself saying yes, in fact, there were spiritual leaders that I respected. I went to and said, I think this is what God's telling me. And they said, I think you're right. Go for it. And I got to that end of that 6 month notice and I left my job and my business was going into a tailspin. After my leave date had already passed, they came to me and said, we think you've made a mistake. You need to go back and get a job. Hmm. Okay. And God stopped speaking to me. You talk about ratcheting it up. It did. Not only were the people that I was turning to for spiritual advice and counseling and so forth saying, nah, you've blown it here. You've made a mistake. We just simply think you need to go back and get your job back. I said, well, that's not possible. I gave up. They've already filled it. You know, for one thing. Besides that, I know that I know that I know that this is what God has told me to do. And a few months ago, you agreed with me. I didn't tell them that. I was rehearsing all this in the dark by myself. Exactly. But it was during that time, it was during that time that our personal checking account went from a nice average balance. It stayed up where it normally had been, even after my income dropped. I don't know how that happened. But then suddenly overnight it hit zero, just like that. And the advisors, counselors were saying, you think you made a mistake? You need to go back and get a job. Suddenly my bank account hit zero. God's not speaking to me. What am I going to do? And I went for months without hearing God speak. For months, he didn't speak to me, or I didn't hear him speak. And that started a 10-year period of my life, what I've called self-unemployment. Most people work towards self-employment. That one didn't work out that way. But for the next 10 years, God taught me principles of how much he loves me and cares for me. And during times of that period, I didn't hear him say anything. And it was a time when I said, okay, I know that I know that I know. I can go back and I can read it in my journal what God told me on that date. I can read in my journal what he showed me on that date. I can read in my journal how he confirmed it through these other people here. Not just my counselors I was going to, but through outside independent circumstances. We talked about third-party, non-involved confirmations. I had loads of those things. People just come to me and say, you know, I think God says such and such. I think, thank you. That's exactly what I need. Put it in your journal. That was a lifesaver for me. Because I had that documentation, I can go back and say, God, this is what you said. And I know you don't lie. I also know that you're not fickle or frivolous. You don't change your mind just because I didn't wear the right color shirt today or whatever. But I know that I can trust you. In fact, that's what God spent 6 months teaching me, that I can trust him. Before he said, okay, now I want you to step out. So he prepared me for that. And I had it written in my journal. I could go back in the days when I'm thinking, you know what, I have made a mistake. This is terrible. I need to go out and find a job. In fact, there was a time after about 7 years where I literally told my wife, I don't care what God's will is. I'm going to go find a job. There was nothing to be had. I was either overqualified or totally unqualified for the jobs that were open. So I had to give up and go back and, okay, I'm still here. It was a time of hell on earth for me. It was a time that I wouldn't wish on anybody. But in retrospect, I can see what God did during that time, and I wouldn't take anything for that experience. But it was my journal that kept me alive during that time. Do you understand what I'm saying? That was my lifeblood right here. God, you said. It's right there. See it? It kept me alive. Now, your experience probably will not be as dramatic. I certainly hope not. But there are going to be times when you will not hear God speaking to you. You say, what's happened here? Go back and read your journal. Make sure you record all these things in your journal. Then, when you're not getting the answers that you want, or you're not hearing, that's not the right statement, when you're not hearing God speak the way you want Him to, go back and say, well, God, on this date you said this. On this date you caused this person to show me this. And this over here you make this divine appointment here. I know that was you doing that. It's all in my journal. I can't remember all those details, but I can read. This journal is my lifeblood. I'm serious. It is my spiritual lifeblood.
That was a real bold step you took there, because some people would have stayed at that job for security, and you know, you had the success and all that, you know, for fear of just going out. You know.
Well, again, it was, I knew that I knew beyond any shadow of a doubt whatsoever that God was telling me to do this.
Mm-hmm. But without your journaling, you would have never known that.
Without my journaling, I would have abandoned that. Mm-hmm. Without my journal, where I go back and remind myself, no, on this date God said, if I did not have that, it would have been real easy for me to just simply abandon that and say, well, mm-hmm. that was just my imagination. Mm-hmm. Or the situation has changed now. And obviously it's not God's will because things are not happening. No. Mm-hmm. So yes, there are times when God will not speak to you, and it's part of the project. It's part of the experience. And God is using that to increase the effectiveness of what you're learning. But like I said, it was the kind of experience I wouldn't wish on anybody. But in retrospect, I wouldn't take anything for it. Because there are things that were done in me and my wife and my boys that probably could not have been done otherwise. God works everything together for our good. But that's the value of journaling. It can be your spiritual lifeblood. In the very least, it can be encouraging. Okay? So I strongly recommend it.
If you're going to do things on a computer, make sure you back it up.
Definitely. Techno geek right here, back up your database and your documents. Do it. Because if you lose it, you will really regret it.
I think.
Yeah, let's see, when was it? November 2005 till June of 2006, I was unemployed. And I didn't see it coming. So it was totally a shock when I lost my job. And during that time, it started off really neat, because the day that I lost the job, three different times through radio, television, you know, picking up the Bible, I was given the same verse, and I did not have this verse memorized before this moment, and it was Ephesians 3:20. For God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think, according to His power that works in us. And I was like, So that became my theme for 6 months of being unemployed, and I started journaling for the first time during that time. And often I would read Bible verses to encourage myself and write the verse, and that's where I'd start. And I would focus on each word, and whatever popped out at me, I would start writing about that word. Mm-hmm. And then I would start realizing how it was personal, and then I'd start writing what I thought about it, and then I would just keep writing, and maybe a page or two, an hour or two later, I'd go back and look at that and go, wow, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd call her and say, Mom, what do you think about this? And I'd read it and get confirmation. Mm-hmm. And it became a beautiful experience on how I could hear from God. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that time, I ended up getting a job that was better than any job I ever had, that I'm very successful at now. And I wouldn't change that period of time for anything. I learned so much, and
yes,
things are better now because of it.
You mentioned something, I'll be with you in just a moment here. You mentioned something I want to elaborate on just a bit. As I'm writing down, as God's speaking to me and I'm writing in my journal, I usually just get a few words at a time, my phrases, okay? Maybe just one word. As I write that word, he'll give me the next few words. But usually it's by phrase. I don't even know what the complete sentence is. I just write the first phrase, then I write the second phrase, then I write the third phrase, or whatever. And it's not until I go back and read it later, or when I'm transcribing it into my word processing document, I see how it flows, and I'm thinking, I couldn't have made that happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. I could not have made that happen. Mm-hmm. Contextually, grammatically, the whole thing just flows. It's linked together. It's like this. It perfectly fitted and beautifully stated. I could not have created that on my own.
I like it when,
so it's confirmation.
When he uses words that I don't normally use.
Yes, yes.
And you look them up and you're like,
well,
that's
exactly. Yeah. 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 Do you have something?
I was just going to say, I think, I don't know how many times I've heard you, at least two times plus one before, but I think it's a total of three, give this kind of instruction about how to organize your messages from the Lord. And the first time I heard you, it's, of course it all sounds good, but it was just overwhelming. Mm-hmm. How in the world? It's like, I don't mm-hmm. even type, you know, kind of thing. But I do type. But yeah. mm-hmm. in this case, you know, it's because I was trying to accomplish this thing without getting...
burdensome.
No, just without letting God work in me,
yeah.
that piece of getting mm-hmm. with Him. It's like, I want this end product. He's been working with it 30 years, and it's like, how am I going to get that? Well, first of all, you don't have anything to organize. Just get to moving with the, mm-hmm. the basics, you know.
Do what
I mean,
you
I've
have.
Journaled
yes.
on and off, but mm-hmm. just the mm-hmm. intimate time with God. And it's so sweet now because I, after many sessions of hearing and applying, finally it just feels right and good, and I mm-hmm. know I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get enough to... begin organizing by topics.
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
that,
you know, do your kernels. Yeah. Yeah. Do your kernels. Yes, sir. Those were suggestions. I'm not recommending everybody do those things. In fact, I'm not recommending people transcribe your journals into a word processing document. Remember one of our pastors on Sunday morning a few weeks back yeah. brought out a hand truck with all of his journals stacked into it. That's great. I'm glad for him. You know, I'm happy. But I can't operate that way.
But it makes sense to try. You know, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you allow the power of God to work through you. You know, if you've already decided you can't do it, of course you're not going to because...
Don't copy me.
Yeah.
Don't, please.
Well,
don't copy
I won't
me.
Copy,
but
I'm just saying.
The important thing is,
if you're writing something, you need access to it. And how can you do it with all these books, you know, right. except?
Well, the bottom line. Bottom.
What I found for me, I'm very simple. I like mm-hmm. simple. So in the past, I have journaled, not every day, just every once in a while throughout the year. And I just take loose leaf paper on a clipboard and I'll just sit and write.
Yeah.
And then just keep putting that in a 3-ring binder. And
right.
at the end of the year, I date that binder, put it in the bookshelf, start a new one January 1st. Mm-hmm. And so...
Yeah.
Just one binder a year.
That's basically what I started out doing, loose leaf paper, putting in a binder.
Yep.
And I got to a point where I, 10 years of self-unemployment, I had time to transcribe things. So that's when I did that, and I discovered, well, I had my own personal computer then, too. Remember, I started this in 1981. I didn't have a PC back then.
Yeah,
so use whatever system works for you, loose leaf binder, bound book, work at your computer, you know, however you do it, put it on tape or on mag, you know, whatever. Whatever works for you. Don't work out the epitome system.
But you know,
do something
obvious,
that works.
It's obvious that whatever he's been communicating with you, he's been communicating with you to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, for you, it might be just something totally different. I mean, it's like,
it will
I sit
be.
Down and, you know,
yes.
I can relate to... You know, being unemployed, I mean, there are lots of times it's when you're home, it's really easy to sit there and spend all of a sudden 2 or 3 hours and realize, oh my gosh, I've got to do all these other things yet.
Right.
But you just, I mean, but there is something that is just, I don't even know what to put a word to it, but yeah, I mean, I will find myself going back to older journals and just picking up, not really looking for anything in particular, but going back and remembering that time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think it's not, and I want to make it clear, I'm not built like that anyway. My brother is, you know, but for me to hear somebody think like that, it would shut me down because I'm thinking I can't do that.
Well, again,
but yet
yeah.
I see the value of it, mm-hmm. and I am giving God permission to work with me in whatever way and capacity. And I'm saying if I can do that, I'd be glad to, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's just this starting point, and I'm so excited about it. You know, I've been doing the loose leaf. I've got some... journals I've already, you know, done mm-hmm. over years,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't thought about looking back at them, you know, because I'm, in my mind, I'm failing because I'm not doing it on a regular
no.
basis, and,
no.
I mean, you know, but
yeah.
I've been yeah. delivered, praise God,
right.
during this time, you know,
yeah.
and so, and I'm willing to, you know, I don't see myself as a failure, it's just, it's a process,
mm-hmm.
and I'm allowing God to work with me in it, you know, so.
And like I said, don't copy what I do, you find what works for you. For you now.
Well,
Well, can I just copy your journal?
what was the kernels.
Right, the kernels.
What was that, Lord?
The kernels.
God said no. God said no. You can't do that.
But you know, there's not everybody can do that.
Not everybody can. No.
I have.
Not everybody has the ability or the time.
Turn off your mic. I have absolutely no desire.
And that's fine.
But I had a dream a couple of nights ago.
Uh-huh.
And I know it was from the Lord. And I woke up in the middle of the night. And you know how you really don't remember dreams?
Right.
But I woke up and I said, what are you trying to tell me here?
Yes.
And I still remember it and I talked to you about it. You know, mm-hmm. And I'm still not understanding what he was trying to say to me.
Did you write it down?
No. But I'm still, in my mind, I'm still processing it.
Right.
You know, sort of like constantly.
Yep.
Where if, for me, if I'd written it down, that would have been it. I just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would have written it down and...
We are all different. For which we can be grateful. For which we can be grateful. We are all different. So I'm simply saying, this is what I've done. Maybe this will trigger some thoughts in you. Please do not copy what I'm doing, because this is what I do, and I'm weird in many ways. So you really don't want to be things that I do. So
we're all unique.
We're all
unique. But it doesn't work for everyone.
I'm also weird. Yeah. Not only am I unique.
You shouldn't feel
condemned. Yeah. Yeah. Don't feel condemned about times when you've gone without journaling. If I showed you the big gaps in my journal, you wouldn't feel bad. What you're doing or not doing, okay? Because there'd be months when I was, my attitude was such that I didn't want to hear from God.
Right. Yeah, I've been there.
Okay. Yeah. And when I said, okay, I really have to, I'm going to do this because I have to. For some reason, God didn't speak to me then.
Yeah.
Go figure. Yeah, imagine that.
You know what I found, though, that when you're angry with God, you can still journal.
Oh, yeah. There are some things that you would not want to read in my journal for that very reason. Where I was expressing exactly how I felt.
Exactly.
And I'm glad it's a private journal.
Right.
But the point is, here's the point. Find something that works for you now. Okay? Whether it's a loose leaf paper stuck in a binder, whether it's a napkin you stick in the drawer or whatever, find a system that works for you. Understand, number one, the value of posturing yourself to dialogue and interact with God. That has great value in itself. The secondary benefit is, as you journal it, it's recorded so you can go back and review it. Whether it's handwritten in a bound book, it's on loose leaf paper, whether it's notes on the back of an envelope, whatever system you use, you have it written down. Keep that. Date it. File it somehow so that you can find it. The greatest encouragement I have is going back and reading some of my journal entries, especially when I'm struggling or questioning or disappointed with a certain aspect of something. I can go back and read what God told me about those things, thinking, okay, thank you. I'm back on track here now. There are many times when I just simply sit here and read through things and I say, God, I agree with every point, and I invite you to fulfill them in your time and in your way. Make it so. Your time and your way. But the point is, the journal is not only a methodology for interacting with God, but it's a documentation of that interaction. And that's extremely valuable. We could go on and talk for a very long time here. But if you need to go, you're certainly welcome to leave. Let me simply...
I found one of my hindrances was worrying about whether I spelled things right. I was able to read it when I got done.
Yeah.
I was writing so fast I couldn't make sense of what I was actually writing.
There are times when I've had to have the gift of interpretation when I was just transcribing my own notes, yes. Yeah. Writing in my lap, and just leaning back like, I understand exactly what you're saying, but you know, somehow it came back to me as I was transcribing it.
I found after that it was for me, but this is, again, you do what you do and I do what I do. But I happen to be a word processor person. That's what I've done for all my life. So it's easier for me to use the computer.
Right.
I can actually just shut my eyes and let my fingers do the talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
great.
That works. But I don't, when I first started that, I would open my eyes and, you know, I'd realize that my finger hit the wrong thing and then I'd stop and then I'd lose the flow.
Right.
So I learned a while, it took me a while, but I learned not to worry about that.
that's one of the major reasons I continue using my pad and pencil, because if I see spell check highlighted the word, I go back and try to don't do anything to cut that flow. I don't care if I misspell. I don't care if I have to have the gift of interpretation to understand what I wrote. It doesn't matter. I'm going to keep going, okay? Well, I'd like to close with a blessing, and you can stay and we can chat later if you like. May you train yourself to know God's voice, and may that ability contribute greatly to your spiritual growth. Amen.
Amen.
It has been a pleasure to be with you. It's been an honor, actually, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. The Lord bless you.
And also you.